It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. You may be seated. And before Justin comes to sing, the music committee is going to sing at this time.
Thank you to our music committee, giving to us a medley there of great truths. And I trust that God has put some soul upon your heart. You've been praying for them. Maybe you've invited them. Maybe they've already come. But we still have two more nights after tonight. And I want to encourage you to give them a phone call if they haven't yet shown up and encourage them to come. We got a good start to things yesterday, a lot of good decisions made last night. And so we're looking forward to the preaching tonight. So Justin, if you'll come, please, preach the Word of God to us again this evening.
Thank you, sir. All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house this evening. Amen. We are thankful for the privilege of being here. And thank you, church, for your faithfulness tonight and every visitor that is here with us as well. We certainly appreciate your presence. I know that many of you have had a very, very busy day today. Thank you for honoring and giving glory to God by being here tonight. And I trust and pray that as we open up the Word of God, that the Word of God would be opened up to our hearts and that decisions would be made for His honor and for His glory. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. And this evening, I'd like to preach from a very familiar passage to many who have been around the Word of God and around church for some time. It's of one of God's prophets in the Bible. His name is Elijah. And God greatly used Elijah to see a moment in history where the heavens were rent and where where God would come down and do something that would draw and bring people to Him. And just like we talked about last night from Isaiah 64, we believe that we need to see God rend the heavens again. That is our prayer. That is our desire. We want Him to meet with us in a unique and special way. And this is, yet again, another story in the Word of God of just that happening. Look with me at 1 Kings chapter 18 and follow along in verse number 1. And we'll kind of skip through just to be reminded of the story. It says in 1 Kings chapter 18 verse 1, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria." Skip with me to verse number 17 in the story. "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that," what church? "Troubleth Israel." Listen, in their day, there was such a thing as people looking at the man of God and calling him the troublemaker of the land. And you don't have to go too far in America today to realize that we live in a day where people are calling good evil and evil good. There's nothing new underneath the sun, so this should not surprise us. But I'm telling you, this is why we need God to show Himself again in our day as well. Listen, the man of God and the way of God through the Word of God has not been given to give us trouble, but has been given to give us encouragement and edification in the life that we lead. Amen. Notice what he says in verse number 18. "Elijah, he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." Now look down at verse 21. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." Notice this phrase. "And the people answered him not a word." Wouldn't you think that a people who were called after the name of God, wouldn't you think a people with such a rich heritage according to the name of God, wouldn't you think that if it came to a decision between following God and following a false little g God, that based upon their history and based upon what they've been taught, that they would say, hands down, we're going to follow God? But listen, friends, we live in a similar day like they did then. When here is a choice between two different things, follow the one true living God, or follow whatsoever your heart desires, or in essence, follow the little gods of this world. And the people know enough to say, you know what, I'm just not going to answer a word, but they're not dedicated enough to say, hands down with all boldness, I will follow God no matter what that brings. These people were holy. Between two opinions. They were in the way of confusion. They were in the way of indecision. And so tonight, as we look at the desire to have a gift from God, like God meeting us, we are going to see that before the gift, there was somebody who gave. Let's pray together and ask God to challenge our hearts that we may leave here changed. Lord, as we bow before you tonight, we look into your word and we find a man who is dedicated to your word and your will and your work. And As we look at this man, we find out that he was used to call people back to you. Lord, that would be our heart's desire if we were to find ourselves in this passage. We would not want to find ourselves halting between two opinions, between you and between the false gods. But maybe, Lord, we don't find ourselves like Elijah tonight. Maybe there is error in our way, and we are confused, and we are drifting. God, I pray that by the end of the night tonight, that you would grip our hearts and show us exactly where we need to be. And then, Lord, if there's somebody on the opposite side of all of this, their life has been dedicated to everything except you, I pray that by the end of this night, they would see you to be God and they would understand salvation through Jesus Christ. Lord, would you rend the heavens tonight in your own special way? Would you meet with us through the preaching of your word? We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people prayed and said, amen. When I was in the state of North Carolina just a few weeks ago, I met who I call Brother Truss John. Brother Truss John has the family business passed down to him where he was a truss builder in the state of North Carolina. Therefore, buildings were his specialty. And erecting them and making sure that they had a roof over them. And that's been the family business for a long time. And I got to talking to Brother Truss John and said, Brother Truss John, here in North Carolina, it isn't exactly what I was expecting. I mean, this place is booming all around us, and it's very diverse in its culture, and it seems wherever I go, there's new building after new building that's popping up in your area of North Carolina. I said, what's going on? He said, well, Brother Justin, we are a halfback state. I said, a what? A halfback state? I've never heard of that before. Brother Truss John, what do you mean by a halfback state? He said, well, Brother Justin, here in North Carolina, we have understood that we have a lot of people settling down in our state who left New York, they left the winter and the cold, and they started snowbirding in the state of Florida. But then they realized that they're way too far from home. They're way too far from family. But they don't want to go all the way back to New York because it's cold in New York. So instead of moving all the way back, we're going to move halfway back. And that ends up being North Carolina. They're a halfback state. And you know, as I begin studying this particular passage of the Word of God, and as I look into the Scriptures, I see a people who were okay with coming halfway back to God, but they did not come all the way back to Him. Look at what it says in verse number 19 again. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Verse number 20. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Then verse 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Instead of coming all the way back yet, they were satisfied with coming halfway back. Let me challenge you, child of God. He wants you to be changed. He doesn't want you to be a halfbacker. He wants you to be full all the way back. He wants your life. He wants your time. He wants your talents. He wants your treasures. And He wants your testimony. He doesn't want part of you. He desires all of you. And He gave Himself on the cross of Calvary with everything, all of His body, all of His love, all of His dedication. And yet, for some reason, we find ourselves exactly like these spiritual halfbackers. scriptures with a partial dedication and a partial obedience, a non-full commitment because I just don't know, and maybe we're hanging on to something in this life. Listen to me, there's nothing in this life that is worth hanging on to that keeps you halting between God and the way of this world. If God be God, then follow Him. This is the stubborn problem. In verse 21, they are halting between two opinions. And there was a hindrance that this brought. If you look back at verse 1 and 2, there was a problem in the land. At the end of verse number 1, there was a need for rain in the earth. In verse number 2, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And you find in the Old Testament that from time to time, the judgments of God that would come onto the people were judgments of famine, were judgments of disease in the land, were judgments where God would keep back from them some of the things that were necessary for living. And as we examine the scriptures tonight, we can find that even when we are in a desolate place, even when we are in a destitute place, even when we think that ought to be the place that people recognize God and turn back to God, that doesn't always mean that they will. And let me hone in a little more specifically. That doesn't mean that we will. We would like to think that if somebody got to destitution, if somebody got to be desolate, if somebody were in a famine and had need of everything, that they would then turn to God. But here's the man of God calling a people to come a little closer, to come to their God and see. And he has to ask them the question, if God be God, then follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. I wonder if persecution hit America. I wonder how challenged my faith would be. I wonder if persecution hit America and there was a decision in front of a king that ruled the land that did not like Christianity. I wonder if we would be bold as well to say, God is my God. Maybe these people were hindered in their decision because they were concerned about what other people thought about their decision to follow God. Do not let any person keep you from coming to God. Do not let any situation drive you further away from God. But realize this, no matter what's happening in life, no matter what the political situation is, no matter what you do not have, God is still higher than the highest. God is still greater than the greatest. And no one could ever take His power, His glory, His justice, His love, His mercy away. He is all that has ever been and will be. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But sometimes we allow the circumstances to control whether or not we are going to be faithful to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But get this, circumstances have never controlled the Master. Do you remember that story when the disciples were on the boat in the Sea of Galilee? Jesus was asleep on the pillow. I wonder if He really cares. How can you be sleeping at a time like this? And any shipsman in here knows that when the waves are rolling at you, you need to roll into the wave with that ship if there's any success going to come and your ship staying afloat. But what do you do when the waves are coming from every side? And the shipsmen and the disciples were doing what they could in their human strength to be able to take care of the situation, but nothing's phasing the Master. And all of a sudden, somebody had a grand idea, and they looked at the master, and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And for the first time in that story, we see that the master arose, he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And again I say, the circumstances did not control the master, but the master controlled the circumstances. The rain didn't wake Jesus up. The waves didn't wake Jesus up. The crying out of the disciples one to another, commanding them what to do, didn't wake Jesus up. What woke Jesus up, though, was the cry of his child that prayed unto him. And at that very moment, we realize God cares, but there's nothing in this world that can control the master. He controls everything. If God be God, then follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. These people were a stubborn people. They would not return unto the Lord all the way yet. They were quiet and they were waiting to see what happened, and maybe for several reasons. But in this story, here's what I want to do. Instead of focusing now on the stubbornness, the problem of the people, I want to skip to the end of the passage, and I want to show you the supernatural provision. Look with me at verse number 36 of chapter 18. And let's start to point out the gifts that were given, the gifts that were received. These people were witnessing Elijah as a fullbacker for God, them being halfbackers. And because he was all the way back and he was where he needed to be with God, God did something for them that only God could do. Number one, there's the gift of answered prayer. Look at what it says in verse number 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel," or Jacob, "let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel." Notice his prayer. His prayer was, "Lord, I want these people to know you." He wasn't praying that God would show up and put $1 million on his doorstep. You hear me? He was praying, "God, I want you to do something so others know you in my day." I love this prayer. Look at how he continues. "And that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word." And in that prayer, he's praying not that God's name would be known, but, "Lord, would you make it known that I am just a vessel? Would you make it known that I am just a tool? Would you make it known that I am your servant? I am not lining up with those of Baal, but God, I come before you asking that you do this, that fire would fall from heaven so these people would know you and know that I am your servant and what I have done is according to your word." Then verse 37, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again." Then verse 38, the answer comes. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench." Listen. God answered Elijah's prayer. I know that we're Baptist, and someone here might get a little Baptist-costal every once in a while. Just kind of joking a little bit. But you know what I'm saying? When God answers your prayer, you get kind of excited when you know that God did something for you. If you have somebody in your life that has ever been known as a prayer-er, then you are thankful for that person who truly knows how to pray. One time I was at a funeral service. It was my Grandpa Smith's funeral service. It was in Chillicothe, Illinois, at Calvary Baptist Church, the church where they attended. And there was a man who came up to me. I was a young teenager at this time, a middle teenager, 16 years old or so. And this man that came up to me, some of you have met before, his name is Brother Jim Apple. At one time, he had a lot to do with maintenance and things at Camp Joy. And Brother Apple came up to me at my grandpa's funeral service and said, "Brother Justin, have I ever told you the last time that I talked with your grandpa Smith?" I said, "No, Brother Apple, but would you let me know? I'd love to hear about it." He said, "Well, Brother Justin, it was a Sunday morning and church had let out. And your grandpa went to get the old maroon Chevy Lumina like he always did every Sunday morning. He'd pull around the church to the underpass and just wait for your grandma to come out because your grandma loved to talk to everybody in the foyer. So I saw an opportunity," Brother Apple said. He said, "I saw your grandpa out there waiting in the car for your grandma, and I went over to the passenger side door. I opened it up, and Brother Apple said, I jumped into the Chevy Lumina and started talking to your grandpa. I said, 'Hello, Brother Cleo. How are you?' 'Well, Brother Apple, I'm doing pretty good, not too bad.' Then Brother Jim said this, 'Well, that's good, Brother Cleo. Can I ask you a question?' 'Sure, Brother Jim.' 'Brother Cleo, what's God doing in your life right now?'" And I loved what I heard about my grandpa from this point forward. "Well, Brother Apple, I find myself praying more." And then tears started coming down my grandpa's face, Brother Apple said. "And Brother Apple, when I find myself praying more, God is answering more." Then he said this, "Brother Jim, Brother Apple, I wish I would have started praying like this a whole lot longer ago." And I happen to wonder if there were moments in my grandpa's life that as grandkids, myself included in that, grew up across the street from grandpa, and grandpa would sit in his old recliner and look out the window across our little intersection and watch his grandkids play basketball on the basketball court and skateboard around the basketball court and just mess around like boys like to do. I happen to wonder if somewhere along those lines, grandpa was praying, "Lord, if it would be your will, would you call one of my grandkids into the ministry?" I don't know if he prayed something like that, but if he did, his prayer's been answered. I wonder if he is praying that God would bless his family and protect his family. And maybe there were some specific things that grandpa would sit there in his recliner and lift up to God in the latter days of his life, where he realized one of the greatest relationships that he could ever exercise is his relationship in walking and talking with God. Hey, don't be the church of Ephesus who got so busy serving that they forgot their first love. You ought to remember the God that loved you so much and find time to sit at his feet and to pray and just sit back and watch as God answers those prayers. Back in the month of May, I was preaching at a church in Creve Coeur, Illinois, just across the river from Peoria. And Sunday morning, I was walking out of the church toward the back, and there was a whole bunch of people shaking my hand, and somebody gave me an offering envelope, and their offering envelopes are about that big, a little bigger than a business card. I had never seen small envelopes like that up until that point. And one of the men had it in his hand, and he gave me one of those handshakes, and I took it out of his hand, and I thanked him very much, and I put it in my suit coat pocket, and just left it there. Well, I forgot about it. And I went home and we came back to church that night. And after church that evening, I remembered somebody graciously gave me something. I'm going to go see what it was. Sometimes it's a note, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's both. But when I went back to my pocket, it wasn't there. I check my front pocket. I check my side pockets. I never put anything there. I check my pant pockets. I went out to the car and I checked in the car. You know how you do, looking underneath the seat, looking everywhere. It wasn't there. I came back in, looked in my suit coat again, looked in my suit pant pockets again. It wasn't there. I felt so bad. I had lost something that somebody had graciously given to me. I didn't know what it was, but I felt bad. At that time in our life, we were in a two-story house, and our habit was Lydia loved to pray on the top couple stairs before she went to bed with us. So we would gather huddled on top of those stairs, and we pray for things. We commonly pray for her to have a good obedience and a quick obedience, that she would have a love that amazes, that she would understand herself to be a sinner and know the Lord as Savior one day. And then we pray for her husband. Those are oftentimes frequent prayers we pray with Lydia. But that night, there was another prayer that was added. Lord, I feel so bad. I've lost something that somebody has graciously given to me. Would you help us find it? The next day, we were in the car headed to the meeting, and our typical way is that as we head to the meeting, we pray together for the Lord to bless the service, to bless the singing, to bless the preaching. And that night, Monday evening of that meeting, I was also praying, Lord, I lost something somebody gave me. Would you help me to find it? I feel so bad. That night at church, their double doors were out the back of their church. There were several steps going down the church to the outside of the sidewalk of their little neighborhood there. And I was back there at the back doors, and a couple of their deacons came back by that way, or their ushers, excuse me. And they said, Brother Justin, are you waiting on anybody? We're going to close these doors and count the people. I said, no, I'm not really waiting specifically, but I'm going to wait in case somebody else comes so I can greet them and welcome them into the house of God. They said, okay, and they shut the double doors. And about that time, the double doors at the bottom of the stairs cracked open. And there was a man peeking through those double doors up the stairs at me. I could tell he wasn't interested in coming into the church. So I walked down to him and I said, hello. I said, I'm not the pastor, but I'm visiting and I'm preaching tonight. What can I do for you? He said, well, I'm from just down the road here. And I was mowing my yard, and he pulls out the offering envelope that's torn with a $20 bill sticking out of it and says, it's got the church name on here, and I figured I'd bring it back to the church tonight. I said, sir, that was given to me this morning. Yesterday morning, I lost it. And I've been praying last night and today that I'd be able to find it. And sir, you are an answer to prayer. He said, thank you so much for sharing that with me. He wouldn't come in that night, but he was excited to hear different stuff. And so I went back into that church and I was so excited. You know why? God heard a prayer that I prayed and lifted up. And listen, God wants to hear you pray as well. It's as simple as lifting up your voice to God and asking Him and desiring of Him and walking with Him. But you know, sometimes in prayer, it's not that God wants to hear you say, Daddy, can I have? 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 But you know, sometimes that's all our prayers are. How much better is your relationship with God when it's more than just, Daddy, can I have? But sometimes it's, Daddy, thank you so much. Daddy, I love you so much. Daddy, can I have? Daddy, these are my needs, but Daddy, thank you so much. Daddy, I love you so much. Listen, there was the blessing of answered prayer, but understand this. Number two, there was the gift of adoration. Look at verse number 39. And when all the people saw it, they saw the fire fall. They fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Listen, this is a people who would say, with what I have seen and what I have beheld, there's no doubt in my mind that God is who He says He is. He received adoration. But there might be some people in here who will say this, you know what? I'll give God adoration. I'll come back to God when I see the fire fall. Well, I'll give my life to God when I see the message written on the clouds. Did you know there's a story in the New Testament of the disciples gathered together in the upper room? Everybody is there except Thomas and, of course, Judas. But those disciples are gathered there. And as they are gathered there, the Lord appears unto them after the resurrection. And then the Lord disappeared from them. And Thomas comes back. And the other disciples get so excited. Thomas, you won't believe it. We saw Jesus. Thomas said something like this: I will not believe except. I will not believe except I can take my finger and put it into the print. I will not believe except I take my hand and thrust it into his side. And sometimes we are a people like that. We won't believe unless we see the fire fall. We won't believe unless we see the physical Jesus. We won't believe except. But a few days later, Jesus appears unto everyone in the upper room, and Thomas is there. And Thomas hears Jesus say, Thomas, stick hither your finger in my hand. Take your hand and stick it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And at that very moment, Thomas did this. He fell to the ground, and he said, my Lord and my God. In essence, the Lord, he is God. My Lord and my God. He gave adoration to him. But Jesus said something so profound after that. Blessed are they who, having not seen, yet have believed. Jesus Christ was saying, Thomas, you've believed because you've seen. But Thomas, there is a more blessed people who don't have to see to believe. You have the Word, Church of Jesus Christ, in 2019. You have the faith through the Word of God. You don't have to see the fire fall. You don't have to see the physical form of Jesus. You have faith which comes by hearing, which comes by the Word of God. We just need to hear what the Word of God says again. Adoration. Can I ask you, when was the last time your praying was more than asking, but your praying was adoring your Heavenly Father because He is wonderful? And then you can look down and see abundance of rain, the gift of the abundance of rain in verse 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. And God started doing something that was needful. God started relieving the soreness in the land, the famine in the land. There was the abundance of rain, and that would be as if a freshening spirit would meet with us and minister to us and strengthen us, and souls are getting saved, and saints are getting revived, and the destitute spiritual situation doesn't seem so destitute anymore because God is blessing and God is moving. But I want to show you something that happened in between the stubbornness and the supernatural gifts, and that's my third point, the sacrifice of purpose. Look at what it says in verse number 30 of 1 Kings 18. And Elijah said unto all the people, notice these words, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. You know, before they had witnessed the great acts of the prophets of Baal, they were jumping up and down. They were cutting themselves. Some blood was gushing on the altars, but their false little g gods, they weren't doing a thing because they were crying out to gods that didn't have ears to hear. And now Elijah says, let's regroup. He's calling them together and saying, children, let's regroup. Let's come near. Let's draw close because I believe God wants to do something. And here's the truth in revival. When we draw near to the way of God, and we draw near to the will of God, and we draw near to the Word of God, and we draw near to the work of God, we begin to see that God is doing some things
things that only God can do. But maybe there needs to be a regrouping in those things. Maybe we need to come close again and stop being so far away. It's just like the man who says, it's been such a long time since I've been in the prayer closet. It's just like the lady says, it's been such a long time since I've met with God. And oh, it's so good to be back. And Elijah's calling them near because God wants to show himself for who he is. Here's what I believe. God wants to show himself alive and real to you in 2019. I think sometimes we get way too dependent on ourselves in this life. We need a regrouping, a regathering around the man of God and around the things of God to see the God of heaven do what the God of heaven can only do. These had an instigator of faith. His name was Elijah. And Elijah was instigating. Elijah was provoking. Elijah was calling people to see the God of heaven. And we are thankful today for those in our life who have called us back to God. Whether it's our favorite preacher or whether it's our least favorite preacher or whether it's somebody in between. But God gets all over them and God is using them to provoke us unto faith and drawing near. Thank you, Lord, for those people. There's a regrouping, but then we see there's a reconstructing. Look at verse number 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. I remember when I was a young man. I mean, I was before I was, I know I'm still a young man, right? Okay. But when I was a lot younger than what I am, as before I was married, I was growing up on the farm that my parents had kind of remodeled the farmhouse. We had an old corn crib out back. And in one corner of the corn crib, Dad had created a hen house. And if you've ever been around farm animals, some of them make a lot of mess, some more than others. But they had a mess back there in that hen house. I was up in my room one day and I came across Matthew chapter 6 where it talks about having a secret place of prayer. And as a young man, I had never known what it meant to have a secret place of prayer. And God gripped my heart. And I thought, my bedroom is too distracting. There's got to be a place somewhere on these 2 acres where I can have a prayer closet and meet with God free of distraction. And then my mind rested on that old chicken coop, that old hen house where there were no longer any chickens. So Brother Josiah, I went out there and I opened that chicken coop door and it smelled nasty. It was disgusting. There was hay. So guess what I did? I went and I grabbed the garden hose and I grabbed Mama's Dawn dish soap and I took the Dawn dish soap and I just threw it all over that old chicken coop and I took that garden hose, put my thumb over the end of it like you do when you have no spray nozzle, and I began spraying down that old chicken coop. And then I went in and I got 2 pieces of wood and I made them in the point of a cross. And I wood burned onto that cross, enter into his presence, the throne room of grace. And I nailed that to the front wall when I walk in. And then I went and got my Mickey Mouse comforter, which I hadn't used in, well, it doesn't matter how long I hadn't used it for, but I folded that thing up and I put it down there on the floor to kneel on. And I remember the first morning waking up before my daddy went to work, and my daddy went to work early. And I remember what it was like, the dew, the beautiful crisp morning, but opening the door to my prayer closet and entering in and just falling before God, opening my Bible and meeting face to face with him. But time happened. I went to college. I was learning, gaining knowledge. And one semester I came home and I looked down the driveway and I saw the old pen where the chicken coop was and the weeds had grown up as tall as the fence. And God smote my heart and said, Justin, how's your prayer life right now? What are you going to have to clear out of the way to get back to where I am at? And there were some things that needed to be reconstructed in my prayer life. And maybe that's a thing that you're missing out on right now that's so precious and so amazing. Or maybe there's another aspect or area of your Christian life that needs to be reconstructed because God wants to use you and God wants to do something spectacular. But there needs to be a regrouping and there needs to be a reconstruction. But then there needs to be a recalling. Look at what it says in verse 31. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. You know what he was doing, church? He was remembering God in the reconstruction of that spiritual moment of their lives. And it'd be good for us to recall tonight those moments in our life where God has done something spectacular and be reminded of what his name means. As we continue to read in verse 32, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid them on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. This is something precious. This is water. We're in a famine. And Elijah, you're asking for water. We are facing the need in this land. And you're asking us to take something precious and pour it on. But in verse 34, he said, do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. You know, I really believe that in the recalling of their God and the reapplying of the water, that something extremely precious was retrieved, reapplied. And it may have seemed the reasonless to those around, but I believe Elijah was looking for a reaction that only God can bring, that God would do something that only God could do. But it was only after something so precious and priceless was applied onto that altar again and again that God began to move. You know, sometimes we hang on to things way too much. I was up in Alaska in August of 2018, and I stepped into my mother-in-law's house, and the Lord had just been working in my heart again with verses like, give, and it shall be given unto you. And that's something I'd always practiced, but God's working on my heart again. I step in my mother-in-law's house, and you need to know up front, she's not made of money, but she wanted to be a blessing. And she said, Justin, here's a $100 bill. Thank you, thank you. Are you sure? Yes, yes. God wants me to do it. Here it is. I said, thank you. But immediately, it was on my heart to give it to a pastor that I would visit that week. I forgot the first time, and the second time, I'm going to make sure I take that $100 bill with me. And so I had it with me, and I put it in the offering plate, mission accomplished, gift to the pastor. Thank you, Lord, for opportunity. And then I get back to the house, and my mother-in-law says, Justin, there's this really old upright piano in the basement that I want you to take out of the basement. Can you take it apart and get it out of here? I said, I'd love to do that. I love demolition. I don't know if you love demolition, but I love demolition. And that was a really fun thing to be able to do. And so I called my missionary friend, Remote Alaska Missions, Brother John Penix. He brought his tools over, and we began taking apart this 400 to 600 pound piano. We got it taken apart, but it was too late to get it taken to the dump. That night, though, my mother-in-law was so thankful that she gave me another $100 bill. Give, and it shall be given unto you. But immediately, I'm thinking about missionary John Penix. So the next day, we take the load to the dump, and as we dump it off and head back home, I snuck that $100 bill, sneaked that $100 bill into the cup holder and hid it there before I got out of the car. Text him later just to make sure he got it, and of course, he was very grateful. I thought, praise the Lord, another opportunity to give and it shall be given unto you. I wasn't looking for anything in return. And then a pastor from 3 hours down the road in Glen Allen, Alaska called me and said, Brother Justin, can you go help one of my church families move into the house down in Wasilla? He said, I wish I could be there, but I can't. Can you go? I said, yes, sir, I would love to be able to go. And so I went over there, I helped them unload. And as I was getting ready to leave, I said to the family, if your pastor was here, he'd want to pray with you. So let's pray together. We prayed. And then as I was leaving, the grandpa that was there helping stuck out his hand and he transferred, guess what, to me in my hand, a $100 bill. I thought, this is amazing. Then I thought, nope, it's just God fulfilling his word. I got on the plane to head home after 2 weeks, and as we're heading home, we're sitting next to a young lady who's from Europe who's just working in Alaska, and she's flying home. But in Chicago, she's going to stay for 5 days. And you know Chicago. You can park a few different times and spend $100. So we're right there in the baggage claim, and I was led to give that $100 to that young lady in baggage claim, and she about wouldn't take it. But I said, no, I insist. And would you know it? I got into our Prius, and I looked in the door's pocket, and it was an envelope, and I don't know where that envelope came from, but guess what was in the envelope? $100. You say, preacher, you're foolish. If you would have kept all those $100 bills, do you know how much money you would have had? Now, I don't know that that would have been true, because I believe in God's formula. I believe in what God promised. But even if that would have been true, you know what I was reminded and you know what I was taught? Give and it shall be given. And listen, when you give, God blesses. And Elijah gave and God blessed. And you can never outgive God. And through all of that, the halfbackers became fullbackers. The Lord, He is God. Tonight, I simply want to invite you to come all the way back, especially if you know there's a hesitancy within and there's a little bit of indecision. Maybe you're young and maybe religion's only been something of your parents. This would be prime time to fall before the God that loves you and just lay all on your altar before Him. Let's pray together. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we bow before You, we thank You for this passage in the Bible that challenges us to regroup and to reconstruct and to recall and to reapply. The blessing of answered prayer, the blessing of adoration, the blessing of the abundance of rain. And Lord, I pray that tonight we wouldn't be spiritual halfbackers, but that we would be all in, fully dedicated before You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Let's stand.